Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. But I'm joined by new Kerala MLA and the person who's been selected now to be the new Speaker of the Kerala Assembly. I mean, this is MB Rajesh. He used to be the Lok Sabha Speaker, and he, of course, fought a very tough battle in the constituency of Palakkad, and he emerged victorious, and he's part of the new team that Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan has chosen and announced today that is going to be sworn in on the 20th of this month. But as we look at the new team, and of course, as we all know, Kerala government and the left government there has created history of sorts, because we've always seen for the last 30 years, we've always seen the incumbent government being voted out and the opposition coming in. And the left, in a way, bucked that years and decades long trend this time round when they came back to power. And many said that the reason why Pinarayi Vijayan's government came back to power was the way it dealt with calamities, the pandemic, and also the floods that Kerala saw. The pandemic's handling has now become quite a talking point on a day like today, because the person, the face of Kerala's pandemic handling has been KK Shailaja, the health minister. And yet, while she got the largest margin with 60,000 votes, it was the largest victory margin that we saw in Kerala, today she was not picked to be part of the chief minister's team. Now, it's got a lot of people even within the left saying that this is wrong, that it's unfair. It may even be a patriarchal decision that wants to keep women down, that she was seen to be a threat, and that is why she's been left out of the new team. So to talk about all of that, we will be talking to MB Rajesh. But before I start talking to him and get a perspective on how he sees this, because remember, as I said, there are voices within the left as well that are critical of this decision. Before I start talking to him, let's just hear what the health minister, what the former health minister and Shailaja teacher, what she said about this decision today.
Yes, it's a very good thing that a new cabinet is coming now, because everyone should get opportunity. There are so many eminent personalities in our party, and they should also get the opportunity. Party decided me to become the minister last time, and I worked hard for that post, and I am very satisfied on that. There were so many issues during these 5 years, and I can work with the cabinet and all my colleagues and honorable chief minister, and that's a very good experience for me. But there are so many other people also, and they should also get opportunity in that way. It's a very good decision.
So KK Shailaja, or Shailaja teacher as she's known, not sounding upset at all over there. But many feel that maybe because she is hemmed in by her party diktat. So to get an understanding of this issue, I want to go across to MB Rajesh. MB Rajesh, first of all, congratulations on your win, and not just in your constituency, but of the government as well. And congratulations. What do you feel about this new role from being a very vocal kind of MP? Now you've become a feisty, you ran for the MLA elections. And now that you are going to be Speaker, what do you think about this new role?
Thank you, Sunetra. This new role as Speaker of Kerala Assembly is an important role. I hope that I can discharge the new responsibility assigned to me by the party. My 10 years of parliamentary experiences in Lok Sabha will be helpful for me in discharging of Kerala Assembly. I will try to uphold the rights of each and every member. Yes, I agree. A speaker should not be part of party politics. So I won't be part of any politics, but I will be definitely part of political activity beyond the limited arena of party politics.
So, Rajesh, I want to come first of all to the issue which is trending on Twitter. First, tell us where you stand on it. You know, because I know that you, as a member of the CPM, have also been one of those people who's very, very popular in media debates, in explaining Kerala's position to all the media in Delhi and other places. So are we wrong in getting this whole Shailaja teacher situation? Why has she been dropped?
See, Comrade Shailaja teacher was an excellent minister. She did a wonderful job in last 5 years as the health minister, and especially in dealing with the COVID situation. But in fact, it was a teamwork. And it was headed by both the chief minister and Shailaja teacher as health minister. So it was a complete teamwork led by the entire government. Both of them had key roles in our fight against COVID. As health minister, Shailaja teacher has played an important role. But See, in a communist party, your parliamentary responsibility is not a permanent responsibility. Communist party will give you responsibilities in various fields. For our party, extra parliamentary work is also important. So we had, before elections, we had put a term, this norm for candidates. Many important leaders, including the finance minister, who is known as one of the best finance ministers in the country, he did not get a third term for contesting elections, not because he was bad minister. He was an excellent minister, but still, when a norm is introduced and when a norm is implemented, that will be applicable to each and every leader, irrespective of his stature. So that is what the Communist Party is. So that is why many senior leaders, many senior ministers were not contested again, were not fielded again by the party in the elections. Comrade Shailaja was fielded in the elections. This time, the entire cabinet was replaced by new faces. Except the chief minister, all the other 12 ministers are new faces. And in this process, yes, Shailaja teacher will be given new responsibilities in party organizations. So she's part of party organization. She's a member of our party central committee. We have very few women members in party central committee, and she is one of those members in our party central committee. So she will be active in party work. She will be very active in discharging her organizational responsibilities.
But MB Rajesh, we knew as soon as the finance minister was not given a ticket, and of course his job was also, he'd also done a good job, you know, this entire thing about giving welfare schemes and reaching out to the people who are needy, you know, that's something that the finance ministry did. So when he wasn't given a ticket, it became very clear that that was the ideology. Don't you think that in Shailaja teacher's case, there was no such indication? Because she was fielded and everyone expected her to continue because it was part of the whole continuity of the health ministry and of this portfolio.
See, those who are surprised or shocked or those who feel unexpected, they are unaware of the norms of Communist Party. They often compare Communist Party with other bourgeois political parties. For other bourgeois political parties, parliamentary work is important. That is the sole responsibility in their political activity. But for a Communist Party, parliamentary work is not the sole responsibility or is not the sole political activity for Communists. So that is why she was replaced by another three members. I think this time we are going to have three women members in the cabinet, the highest ever number in the history of Kerala. Out of 21, three are women. So in, last time it was only two. This time the number of women cabinet ministers, we have increased it to three.
But Rajesh, you so have to admit...
And as far as the question of continuity, as far as the question of continuity, see, the continuity is ensured not by a single individual. Continuity is ensured by the system itself. The chief minister was very much part of this fight against COVID. Chief minister himself led this fight along with the health minister. The chief minister is continuing. So the continuity is ensured.
So why? So if that is the case, which the left embodies, that individual, like you said, that those concepts are bourgeois of the individual being important, then many people on social media are saying, by that logic, you should have a totally new young chief ministerial face as well. Why is Pinarayi Vijayan back there if she is the person? Because you have to admit, this is not something which going in, which we saw in the finance minister's case, this is not something which was announced in advance that she will not be health minister again. We'll have a completely new one. So going by your logic, why, what about, you know, what would you say to the criticism that even Pinarayi Vijayan should, you know, let a younger leader take his place as the CM?
See, Comrade Pinarayi Vijayan himself had stated that the two-term norm is applicable to him also. He has no exception from this two-term norm. Even at the time of the candidate finalization, he had said this. So in a Communist Party, every individual has to abide by the party decision. Party decisions are applicable to each and every leader of a party, irrespective of their stature, or irrespective of in which forum of party they are working. I would like to remind you when Jyothi Basu was requested by all other opposition parties to become the prime minister. So party decided otherwise and he accepted that decision.
But it was also called, he also called it a historic blunder, right? And that is something which historians have also admitted in retrospect. Wouldn't you agree with that, Rajesh?
That's something different, but he accepted the party decision.
Yes, he accepted. And of course, like we said, that she accepted as well. She has also accepted. But you know, can you clarify on the two terms? Like, are you saying if indeed that she didn't qualify because you're saying that she's had another term and this would have been her second term, then why was she given a ticket?
Yeah, she was fielded as candidate for a second term. But when we decided that an entire new team should be there as ministers, then that norm is applicable to Comrade Shailaja as well. When we are replacing other ministers, all other six ministers were replaced, how can we exempt Comrade Shailaja alone? So a decision is applicable to every minister. A decision is applicable to every party member. A norm is applicable to every member of our party. So that is why she was replaced.
Okay, let's take a different point. You talk about the fact that for the first time, Kerala has three women in a 21-member cabinet. This is the first time in history. Now, Kerala is also known for being because it's the most literate state, very high literacy levels, almost 100% literacy levels. Why is it, there was, for example, you had the Canadian Prime Minister in 2015 talk about the fact that there were half women and half men in the cabinet. When people asked him, how come you have equal number of men and women? He said, it's 2015. That's how it should be. Why is it in 2021, you are still saying that having three women in the cabinet, MB Rajesh, is an achievement?
See, I won't claim that that's enough or that's sufficient. Yes, we should have more women ministers in the cabinet, and let's hope that after 5 years or after 10 years, we will have we can fulfill this dream of half of a cabinet will be women.
I wanted to ask you that many people are drawing comparisons with one of those founding members of the left government in Kerala. That's Gauri Amma, who died recently in May, earlier this month. She died. And many are pointing out that the similarities are very, very eerie. The fact that even she, while in the rise up, in the lead up to the elections in 1987, she was led to believe that she is going to be chief minister. And then when it didn't happen, she was very upset. So that way it's different. And then it led to her eventual exit from the party, even though she was an accomplished leader and an accomplished politician. What would you say to those people that it's Gauri Amma part two?
See, even the Gauri Amma part one, your interpretation is wrong. See, Gauri Amma was our senior most leader. She had made sacrifices for our party, for the movement. And she was a minister for six terms. Subsequently, she quit left front, she quit our party, then she joined UDF, even though she was a minister for six terms. And she was the first ever women minister in Kerala. So party had given all considerations and accommodations to her in parliamentary responsibilities.
But she wanted to be chief minister though, Rajesh.
Yeah, at that time, party decided someone else as chief minister.
I want you to speak not as a CPM MLA right now, but as someone who's just commenting. Because, a lot of people within your party is also saying maybe an exception should be made. Do you think that in this 21st century, at this time, when all parties are said to be evolving, and seeing that your party had a great run and, achievement and victory in Kerala, but has performed very poorly in West Bengal, would you like to tell me that what is the kind of change that you feel your party needs to embrace itself or to prepare itself for the challenges that are now there?
See, as far as Kerala is concerned, our party and the government led by our party should focus on implementing the left alternative. Yes, I agree that alternative policies of the left cannot be completely implemented within the limits of a state government, within the limited power of a state government. And a state government can act only within the framework of national policies and national framework. But still, the last 5 years of experiences of LDF government in Kerala has proved that within these limitations, an alternative policy can be implemented. This result, this huge victory for LDF is an approval of those policies. So what we should do is to focus on those alternative policies. Secondly, we have to strengthen our political activity. We have to arrest that tendency of rightward shift which is taking place throughout the country. And we have to intensify our political and ideological work. Thirdly, we have to train and promote a young leadership at all levels of a party. So that is why this time a young team was replaced as ministers. A young team was brought in as ministers.
Would you like to address the fact that why do we have the chief minister's son-in-law in cabinet? I know that he's a party person, but aren't there just the whole idea of it, of having this son-in-law and the father-in-law as the boss? Isn't this improper?
See, he is not chief minister's. Was in the party even before he became the son-in-law of chief minister. So you should not undermine his contributions to party. You should not undermine his role in the party by merely addressing him as son-in-law of chief minister. He was my colleague in student movement and youth movement. We together fought many struggles. We were part of many struggles in student movement and youth movement. He is currently the president of Democratic Youth Federation of India. And he was contested in Lok Sabha election in 2009, when I first contested my Lok Sabha election. He was a candidate from Calicut. And he was a state committee. He is a state committee member of our party. He became state committee member much before he became the son-in-law of chief minister. So you should not undermine a person whose political tradition and whose contributions to a party has been much valuable.
I don't mean to undermine, of course, Mohammad Rais, and I understand that he's been a major, you know, his contributions, whatever they may be. However, MB Rajesh, you have to, wouldn't you admit that, as we've seen in the Trumps, you know, you've seen in the Trump administration when they had Jared Kushner in the White House as part of the White House staff, it's something no one can be expected to treat everyone fairly if one of them is their own relative, is their own son-in-law. So would you accept that there are gray areas, even if you say that, yes, indeed, but if Pinaray Vijayan is the boss over there, how can he be treating all 21 members of his cabinet equally when one of them is actually his son-in-law? Why is this different from the Jared Kushner and Donald Trump situation?
I'm surprised to listen to your comparison with Trump administration.
That's the only example I could think of where the father-in-law was the boss. You know, that's why
I have already explained it. Comrade Mohammad Riaz was inducted into our party state committee much before he became the son-in-law of chief minister.
I'm not questioning his qualities. I'm asking you, how will the CM treat all the members in the same manner when one of them is actually his son-in-law, is what I'm asking you.
CM is guided by the politics and ideology of a party. And CM is also guided by party's organizational principles and party discipline. So there is no question of giving any special consideration for any minister in the cabinet.
Okay. Day after tomorrow is the swearing-in ceremony, MB Rajesh. There were concerns of many that why you are going to be keeping your, you know, you all said that it's going to be socially distant. But many are pointing out, why do you need 500 people at a swearing-in at this time when we are going through such a terrible second wave?
See, number one, the venue of the swearing-in ceremony is Central Stadium, which has a seating capacity of 50,000. In a venue which has a capacity of 50,000, we are expecting only 500. So the social distancing is ensured. All arrangements to ensure COVID protocol has been made. Secondly, even this 500, this is a maximum. We don't think that even the 500 people will attend. This is the maximum limit. Only those who are unavoidable have been invited. And we are expecting only those who are unavoidable to this swearing-in ceremony.
Final question. How are you going to ensure, after being such a committed comrade and member of the left party, how, you know, what are you training yourself to handle being bipartisan in the assembly?
See, in order to be a bipartisan in the assembly, you need not sacrifice your ideology or politics. So there is no question of sacrificing or compromising my ideology or politics. But at the same time, I can be bipartisan in the assembly. I can ensure the rights of each and every member in the assembly. A speaker should act in a way in the assembly that he equally considers both treasury benches and opposition. So I'm hopeful that my parliamentary experience, 10 years of parliamentary experience, will be helpful for me in ensuring that I protect the rights of all MLAs in assembly.
MB Rajesh, thank you so much for speaking with Hindustan Times and patiently answering all our questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.